The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Trinity is written in Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Romans chapter 8. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." This is the word of the Lord.
In the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the sixth chapter, Jesus said, "Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." He also told them a parable. "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the fourth Sunday after Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the sixth chapter. Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." Thus far the text. Mercy comes naturally to God. It's his defining characteristic, and his mercy endureth forever. Not so for men. Still infected by Adam and Eve's curse, the devil, the world, and your sinful nature don't teach mercy. They entice and teach you to stand up for yourselves and defend your rights. They entice and teach you to calculate, to manipulate with dishonesty, to mislead by half-truths, and to plot your deceptions. Pretendedly pious advisors give this kind of advice: God helps those who help themselves. It's nothing but a rehash of the Garden of Eden's seduction. Take the fruit. God didn't really mean what he said. Only you know what is good for you. God helps those who help themselves is just a sly way of saying, take what you want. Look after number one. God cannot be trusted. Help yourself. The epistle for today from Romans chapter 8 reveals a great truth about the world, the devil, your sinful flesh, and God. It says that the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope. Here are some other words that help understand the word futility: hopelessness, meaninglessness. How about this biblical word? Vanity. The creation was subjected to meaninglessness, to vanity, by God, in hope. The creation, including all of mankind, was subjected to futility, to the endless search for meaning. And all of mankind spends his days trying to justify whatever he or she puts their trust in for their meaning, justifying all of the idolatry, all of the things that are thought to bring meaning to life. Oh, the father of lies is quite busy with this charade. Idol after idol, hoped to be the giver of meaning, but then falling short. God has subjected all of creation to such meaninglessness, to such futility, in hope. In hope that the creation itself, including all of mankind, will be set free from its bondage to corruption. In hope that the creation itself would be set free from all of its false hope, to obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Dear believing, baptized Christians, you're not missing out on anything. God is not holding back on you like the devil tries to whisper in your ear, like he did with Adam and Eve. All of the hope in idol after idol is not and never will be satisfying. You were meant. Your meaning is doxology. You were meant for doxology. And that doxology keeps being corrupted and distorted only because of sin. You cannot fix this. You cannot help yourselves. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. The father of lies, the world, and your own sinful flesh do not want you to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come, because they desire that you be absorbed and searching endlessly for meaning for yourself, tugging and pulling and directing you everywhere else but where your meaning comes from. It is God who gives you your meaning, creating anew a pure doxology through faith in his Son. Your father, not the devil, not the devouring father of lies, but your father who begot you anew in the waters of holy baptism, the father of your Lord, Jesus Christ, is merciful. He does not punish you for your hopeless, sin-filled, endless search for meaning. He rescues you from death and despair and everything apart from him, which is nothing, which Christ himself said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." For while there is only one begotten of the Father, only one who can rightfully address him as such, only one who came down from heaven, it is he, Jesus himself, who bids you to stand in his stead and call his Father your Father. He says, right in the Holy Scriptures, which you were blessed to have enter your ears, he says, "Your Father is merciful." He was talking to his followers. He wasn't talking to the unbelievers. He was talking to the believers. Your Father is merciful. He teaches you to pray with boldness and confidence as dear children do to their dear Father. You are to address God as though you were his only begotten, his beloved in whom he is well pleased, the apple of his eye, his anointed one, without sin, without a shameful past, without inside guilt and hidden thoughts laced with futility. You are to address God as though you were perfectly holy, abundantly gracious and merciful. And you are, for you are declared to be so by grace alone, for the sake of Christ alone, through faith alone. Therein lies the mercy of your Father. For the sake of the Son's fully atoning merits, through repentant faith, God declares you his sons and daughters, the children of his adoptive forgiving love. He has laid your guilt upon his Son and then had him carry it to death on the cross. He removes from you all your sins He removes you from this horrid tooth and claw killing world of lies and power struggles, a world of self-preservation, a world of endless futility. He raises his son from the death that you should have died, and then through faith gives you his son's righteousness. At his bidding, you stand in the stead of Christ before the Father, before your Father. By grace alone, for the sake of Christ's fully atoning merits alone, through faith alone, you are just, righteous, and blessed. You also stand in the stead of Christ before your neighbors. Even as he bids you to come and receive his mercy from the office standing in his stead, so you bid others to come and receive his mercy through you out in the world. He has brought you to examine yourself according to his law. He has brought you to confess your sinful nature and the sins that stem from it, and all of the futility. And he has removed the plank of sin and futility from your eye with the forgiveness won for you by Christ the crucified. Now, having removed that plank of sin-filled futility, now you can see clearly and remove the speck in your brother's eye with that same forgiveness and mercy that has freely been given to you. Planks and specks are not removed by rules and laws and punishment. Those reveal the planks and specks. Nor are they removed by education and discipline on how to be a better person, how to live your best life now. That's simply more law. And they are not removed by ignoring or tolerating those futile sins either. But instead, they are only removed in one way, by mercy, by sacrifice, by substitution in Christ. In Christ, you shall not be judged. In Christ, you shall not be condemned. Mercy and forgiveness is given to you freely through him. So how do you get in him? As Christ himself proclaims, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Or as St. John was inspired to write, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. My friends, belief is repentant. The perfect, steadfast, unfailing love of God in Christ, in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your mouths. And from there, down into your hearts. The Lord himself is present for you, here and now, and will be through his very body and blood. It is the meal of mercy. It is prepared for you from eternity. Eat and be satisfied. Here is rest. Rest and comfort. Not for the unrepentant wicked, but for the broken and contrite. Here is peace for repentant rebels. In God's holy word and sacraments, He will raise you up, remove the plank from your eye, and restore your vision of Him who is for you. Your Father is altogether and forever merciful, and He reveals His mercy through the fully atoning sacrifice of His Son. As St. Paul was inspired to write, so too are all repentant believers brought to cry aloud, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death, from this futility, who will deliver me? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Behold, dear Christians, your meaning, your doxology. Behold, your deliverance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.